Hey, welcome to Crossroads, everybody. You guys stand up and sing with us, all right? So nothing can tear us from. Nothing can tear us from. The grip of his mighty love. Crossroads, everybody. It's great. Yeah, it's great to have you guys here. We are, we're really full right now. Can you tell? There's just a lot of people here. I would love to make some room for the people that are still rolling in, who are just getting out of their cars. If you would make room for some of our friends that are still rolling in and scoot to the center of your section. If your jacket has a soul, then it can sit in a seat. But unless it doesn't have a soul, then just pick it up and put it behind you or something. We're going to continue to sing a little bit, and one of my favorite things about being on the Crossroads music team is that we have the privilege of writing songs that articulate the journey we find ourselves on. And we wrote this specifically for those in the community who are wanting to follow Jesus in a sacrificial way, in a brave way, and saying, God, whatever pleases you, that's what I'm going to be about. I'm going to seek your face and not your hand. And when I sing that, it's as if I'm saying, I want to know who you are. I don't just want what's in your wallet. You know, if my kids only wanted me for what was in my wallet, my heart would be broken, you know. When they want to know me and be close to me, that's when I pour out blessings on them. And the same is with our Father. So we're going to sing a little bit together and would love to give you that context as we just tell God that we love him in the way that he loves us, all right? Right here and right now. Thank you for who you are. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never ending. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. And Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me. So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender, I surrender. Oh, to you, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered.
Conquer the grave, my Savior, You can.
shine your light and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. You guys sing it, Savior. Into this place where we can do our best to drop pretense at the door, and even then we carry baggage with us, and you come and you meet us, and you gently pry our fingers from the things that we think we need to give us what you know we need. Thank you so much for loving us the way that you do. You are so good. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And guys, it's great to hear your voices all together. Like, that is awesome. If you like what we're doing right now, we do a lot more, but it's something called Last Wednesday. It's the last Wednesday of every month. Love to invite all of you guys out at Oakley and at all the other campuses too, except for the Clifton campus. Now would be the time that I would say shake hands and have a seat, but we're going to switch it up a little bit. You ready for this? I would love for you to take 1 minute, move away from your little safety spot a little bit, and ask someone you don't know, what was the thing that first brought you to Crossroads? And let that person talk for 30 seconds, and then I'll yell switch, and then you get a chance to talk. And you'll talk for 30 seconds, and if you don't have enough time, you can get a phone number right now, which would be great. So I'm going to count to three, and then you're going to find somebody you don't know and ask them what first brought you to Crossroads. One, two, three, go. You should probably switch. All right, get that phone number if you still need to talk a little bit longer. Start grabbing your seat. Stop your yapping.
I love hearing these conversations. Just hearing that from up here is awesome. Hi, everybody. My name's Eric. I'm a volunteer around here. Listen, if this is your first time here, we'd love to meet you. Stop by the Info Center on your way out. We just want to say hi, get to know you a little bit, make you feel welcome. Okay? We're about to launch into the last week of this series of Bright Future, but there's three things I want to put on your radar before we get into that, all right? We're going to hit them really fast. First one, Sunday, February 8th. It's big. No, it's big. That's the name of the thing. It's big. New monthly event for students, 6th grade to 12th grade, hosted here at Oakley. Going to be a lot of big games, a lot of awesome food, some great worship time. You'll want to be there, and it's also going to be an awesome event to invite your friends to. If you're coming from the west side, you're coming from Florence, Mason, there will be transportation available. To find out more, go to crossroads.net/student-ministry. You can also RSVP there. All right, second thing, Saturday, May 16th. Feels a long way off, right? It's not that far. Go Cincinnati is coming. Yeah. Okay, real quick, if you don't know what Go Cincinnati is, imagine a one-day blitz where thousands of us get together and go out all over this region and say, we're going to bless this city. All kinds of practical ways. This year, we're making it bigger. Get the theme yet? We're slated to do over 500 projects. We're expecting 12,000 people to join in. I say this now because we need leaders. If you know your way around some garden tools, if you're handy with a paintbrush, we need people to lead these groups in blessing our city. To find out more, go to crossroads.net/go Cincinnati. Okay? Third thing, and this one's also big. It's like championship of the world big. It's like bragging rights for a year big. Super Bowl of preaching is next week. Okay, we know what's happening here. If you need tickets, there are still tickets available. If you go to try and get them and they say stand by, get them anyway, you'll be fine. Just get here early. If you have tickets you don't need, please give them back. We want to make as many seats as possible available for people who might not come if they don't have a seat. You know, I've actually even heard stories of people giving up seats here in Oakley and going to one of the other sites to make more room for people to come. That's an awesome thing. That's the kind of team that we are. If you have tickets and don't need them, give them back. If you need tickets, get them. Related to that, if you're looking for a chance to engage around here, you're like, maybe I want to test drive serving a little bit around here. Kids Club is still looking for a few more people to help walk families to rooms, help welcome kids. Little things that can make a big impact for somebody who's never walked through these doors before. Pull out your phone, text SB2015 to 313131 to get plugged into that. Okay, now's the time we're going to have a chance to be generous. There's two ways to do that. You can do it online at crossroads.net/give, or you can put something in the little plate with a sock attached to it that'll come down your row. While we do that, we dug into the archives, found one of our favorite Super Bowl commercials from last year. Let's take a look at that. Have a great day.
From the makers of Christian Mingle, Carney Dates, and AmishMingle.com comes a new online dating service for a very special group of people. Introducing ClownMatch.com.
Dating sucks.
It's like people are afraid of me or something.
Hey, take a picture. It'll last longer.
My friend set me up with this girl. The first thing she says was, "What is this, some kind of a joke?"
Lately, it's just me and this horn.
ClownMatch.com gives you access to other single clown professionals looking for the same companionship as you.
I just want someone to curl up next to me and make balloon animals all night.
I want a unicycle built for two.
I just want someone who won't laugh at me.
At ClownMatch.com, you're guaranteed to find a mate or your money back.
This date's going really well. I mean, me and Choo Choo the Clown here, we got so much in common. I mean, we both love slipping on banana peels and cramming into little cars with all our friends. I think she might be the one.
I'm a man.
Well.
Find your perfect clown mate at clownmatch.com.
Oh, my goodness. Oldie but goodie, we're going to have a lot more of those coming next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. And for many of us, this is our very first Super Bowl. Maybe it's your very first church experience. You know, we've been undergoing some really interesting things over here over the last couple weeks. Actually, attendance in January versus last January, we're up 43%. My word, yeah. I'm looking forward to talk about that and some other things at our last Wednesday service. This Wednesday, for the first time, we'll have a simultaneous interaction and teaching to all sites simultaneously through the internet or whatever high-speed stuff that we use. So if you want to understand more about what's happening here, behind-the-scenes stuff, this Wednesday is going to be really, really critical. In a nutshell, though, you know, if you're newer today, yes, I understand. We are about, at Crossroads, stripping away anything that keeps you from getting to God. We're about stripping away any forms or vestiges of religiosity that might stand in the way of you understanding who Jesus is and what that can mean to your life. And we want to have the future that God is creating for us and he wants for us, and that only comes when we're walking and operating the way that Jesus has modeled and he invites us to follow. And when we do that, we will have a bright future. So I want to end up our series on a bright future today with one of the biggest things that Jesus was about, and that was forgiveness. Let's pray before I go any further. God, thank you for our time today, for everyone who has come out and been here versus someplace else. And God, I recognize it is a total privilege and honor to be able to talk about some of the things that are beautiful mysteries that are keys to life that you've talked about and you've given to us, and I'm really honored to be able to talk about today, so help me not get in the way of this profound truth that you have brought us into, and help all of us as a result of it to get into a future that's brighter than it is right now. We pray these things according to your name, Jesus. Amen. You know, Jesus was, without question, the most influential and impactful person who ever walked the planet Earth. And if we look at how he lived his life and some things that he believed, and we follow in those footsteps, we can expect a brighter future for ourselves. Here's one of the things he said in the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, every time I read this verse or hear it, I just kind of go, ah. Maybe you want to do it as well. Let's do that in the count of three. One, two, three. Yeah, that's good. That's really, really good. Jesus says, hey, I've come to give you rest. I've not come to give you religion. I've not come to give you rules. I've not come to give you regulations. I've come to give you rest. And the way we get rest is when we take his yoke, his ways upon us, and these ways are come out of a heart that is gentle and lowly in heart. Two of the key things about Jesus is that he was gentle, he was lowly in heart. In order to be a great forgiver, which we're going to talk about today, we have to have these two qualities. We have to be gentle, and we have to be lowly in heart. It means to have a lower attitude about yourself than somebody else might. To be high in heart is to be prideful. Jesus was so great that one of the things that he did so well was he forgave. He was an amazing forgiver. In fact, everybody who I want to be more like is a great forgiver. In fact, everyone who you like being around is a great forgiver. And in fact, the people you probably hate being around are unforgiving, bitter, resentful people. Think about it right now. Just go your little Rolodex. Okay, mental rule. We like to be around forgivers, and we don't like to be around angry people who are resentful and who are unforgiving. And Jesus had people around him, and he was so powerful because he was an amazing forgiver. And that's what I want to get us to today, because you cannot have a great future, a bright future, without being a great forgiver. So with that, let me give you a brief overview of the three levels of forgiveness. I'm just going to describe them real quickly. Well, first, there's someone who doesn't forgive at all. So they're at level zero, okay? Level one forgiver. There's a level one forgiver who forgives when somebody perfectly and completely repents. When somebody repents, says the right thing, I'm sorry, and they turn their ways. So level one can say, okay, I'll forgive you. You said the right thing, and you did it. Good. You're forgiven. Level two is somebody who forgives the person who imperfectly and incompletely repents. They say, I'm going to forgive you. And then level three is when someone forgives completely without the other person participating at all. And I'm going to spend most of our time today, I want everyone to get to level three, or at least understand that level three is there. So how might these look? Let's say you go to work tomorrow, and you take your lunch, you pack your lunch, you put it in the little work area kitchen refrigerator, and you go in there and say, man, I'm hungry, I need to get me some vittles. And you go in there, and you open up that door, and your lunch bag is gone. You go, what is it? What do you do? You're like, ooh. You're like walking. You're walking through the cube farm, trying to find out who has your paper bag. You're looking everywhere you possibly can. People are talking. You're looking at their teeth real close, thinking, "That's my lettuce in your teeth. I see it right there. That's my lettuce." You're just like upset. And then somebody comes and knocks on your door later on in the day, and they say, "Hey, I'm really sorry. I did something stupid today. I went to eat, I forgot my lunch, and I was just so famished. I opened up the refrigerator, and I just took one it was just total selfish. I took yours. I'm sorry, it was a stupid, selfish thing to do. I feel really bad about it. If you don't mind, I'd love to buy you lunch tomorrow." What's level one gonna do? Absolutely, no problem. Oof. In fact, if you're level one, anybody with a heart would say, anytime, absolutely, anytime you want to take my lunch, no problem. Because we're so disarmed, it's so endearing when someone just does that. That's level one. If you can forgive in those situations, wonderful, level one. Level two is, the person comes and knocks on the door and says, hey, you know, I might not believe it. I actually took your lunch today. I was really hungry. I was really hungry, and I just took it, and yeah, man, sorry, man. You know, stuff happens. I'm sorry. Level two person goes, all right, they fessed up. I'm not going to spend time worrying about it. You're forgiven. Level three, maybe does a lap in the cube farm and then goes, this is ridiculous. I'm wasting my energy. I'm wasting my day. I just got to release this. I got to let this go, and I got to forgive whoever it was. That's level three. If you can get there, you will have a bright future, because the energy it takes to be bitter, to be unforgiving and resentful is all energy that could be used to be productive in building a better future and being more creative. And not only that, the energy that's used being resentful and unforgiving is energy that tells God, God, don't get involved in my life. This is huge. You cannot have God involved in your life in a significant degree unless you are a level three forgiver. Jesus talked about forgiveness a lot. Here's one of his more powerful, profound, and might I even say controversial teachings on forgiveness. Let's take a look at it. Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Peter comes and said, man, I got this guy bothering me. Do I gotta forgive this guy seven times? Jesus said, no, 77 times. In fact, another time, Jesus says, seven times 77. In other words, if you want to be close with me, you never, ever, ever, ever stop forgiving. And he said, I don't think you understand it, Peter, so I'm going to tell you a story. He makes up this story. When Jesus makes up these stories, there's always somebody who relates to somebody in real life. So the master of this story, the master is related to God. That is the master. And the servant who owes something to his master is you and I. It's average people. So average people come to recognize, oh my goodness, I owe God a lot right now. I owe God, and I don't know what to do. And we go to God, and we say, God, would you please forgive me? Please don't take your justice out of me. Please don't take your wrath out of me. Please don't. And God says, okay. He forgives. And this was what happens with the servant. He says, I don't have the resources to repay this $10,000, 10,000 talent debt, which we'll get into this another ridiculous number in a little bit. And the master says, okay, you're forgiven. The starting point of every level three forgiver is recognizing and realizing that God has forgiven me an unbelievable amount of debt. An unbelievable. What does that mean? It means God has created a world, and he's designed it to operate a certain way. And when I break the rules of his world, when I break his rules, I incur a debt against him. Every time I lie, every time I cheat, every time I have a sexual fantasy with someone other than my wife, every time I manipulate data to make myself look good, every time I do whatever those things are, these are, you're going, preacher man just said that? Hey man, we're all debtors, right? In different ways. Every time I do something or think or not do what God wants me to do, every single time, I am incurring a debt and God is upset. And the amazing thing is, Jesus has paid my debt. This is what's called the gospel. Jesus goes to a cross. He spreads out his arms on a cross. And there's an amazing transfer. My sin debt, my debt towards God, my rebelliousness is transferred on his back. And Jesus's accounts of righteousness and goodness is transferred to my account. It's an amazing transfer. And when you've had that happen to you, you can only help but be an amazing forgiver. I'm going to give you a story today of somebody in our community who I'm pretty sure is a level three forgiver. Check him out.
I started doing drugs when I was 15 years old. and it just sort of took a hold of me. I started out drinking, smoking marijuana, innocently enough, with my friends. By the time I'd graduated, I started using cocaine. From there, started smoking crack and eventually ended up on heroin. I ended up in the ICU on life support. They contacted my parents. My parents were in the room. The doctors came in and they said, you're gonna have to make a decision whether or not to pull the plug or whether or not to keep him in this state and care for him as a vegetable. 2 days later, my parents came in and I was sitting up in the bed. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. And the doctors really had no explanation for it. I knew what it was. You know, God spoke to me and he told me, I've already given you two gifts, you know. One is my son and one is recovery. And what you choose to do with those is up to you. And that's always been my problem. You know, I've always felt the presence of God. I've always known the power of God, but I've always chosen myself. I've always chosen the world, you know, and put them ahead of him. One of the greatest things that God has done for me in this short period of time is that he just puts me in a community of people that care. I see him in the people that he gives to me, whether they're people at crossroads, whether they're people in recovery, whether they're people both. There's just a lot of freedom in that. One of the hardest things was dealing with all the things in my past that I had done, you know. The lying, the cheating, and the stealing, and the manipulating, you know. There's a lot of guilt and a lot of shame. The gift of Christ is that fully surrendering to him, I can be forgiven for all those things. I can move forward from there, you know. And there's just a joy, and there's just a big freedom. You know, addiction is like a huge weight that you carry around, you know. Surrendering to Jesus, it's like, it just takes that away. This felt so safe to me. I knew that God was here. And so I would come back here, and I would go into the auditorium, and there was just always certain songs that would touch me. But, you know, the verses about life being rough, you know, eating crumbs off the floor, deprived of posterity, and I would relate to that. And then Andrea would just blast, I will not be consumed, and I mean, everything in me would just get released. I would just cry. Every time I would hear that song, I would cry. I just have to be aware that the world's not going to change. You know, I have to be the one to change. Every day I have to make the choice. One of the things that I do every day is dive into the Word. And this morning when I was reading in 2 Corinthians, it just promised me that all things are made new through Christ. So that is my life today, and it's a wonderful place to be.
Man, that's so good. That's so good. How good of a forgiver do you think Matthew is? I bet he's level 3. I've no doubt that he's level 3. Because everybody who is in a stage of recovery, who's had his level of addiction, realizes they fueled the addiction through lies and thievery and all kinds of stuff. And when you come to a place of going, no, I'm going to a new place, and you make amends, you realize, gosh, I've done so much wrong. And it's easy then to turn around and forgive somebody who steals your lunch. It's easy because you have been forgiven an amazing amount. So when you come to Christ, if you've come to Christ or if you ever come to Christ, you've got to understand some unbelievable how good he is. Unbelievable how just generous he is to say, I'm not going to hold you to that. I'm not going to make you pay for that eternally. It's crazy. And so this guy in the story, gets forgiven of 10,000 talents, and look what happens next in his life. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him. saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will repay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Ooh, so the master was willing to forgive, done. We'll wipe away the 10,000 talents, no problem. What? What? A guy owed you 100 denarii and you held him accountable for it. You actually choked him. You were wishing him, what? Dude, that's it. You're done. Your run's done. I'm putting you in jail. Done. Over. We see something about how something doesn't make sense here. You can either be in Christ's economy that has a bright future, or you can be in the world's economy that has a negative future. Christ's economy looks like this. You owe and I pay. I pay on a cross. You owe and I pay. That's Christ's economy. The world's economy is, no, that's stupid. No, you owe and you pay. You owe and you pay by different lives that you're reincarnated on. You owe and you pay because there's no forgiveness for you. You owe and you owe. And the problem is, if you want to be in one of those two camps consistently, that's cool. That's great. So if you want to be over here consistently, great. Forget that. Don't believe that God loves you. Don't believe that God gives you grace. Don't believe that God gives you forgiveness. If you want to stay here, fine. Act that way with God and don't give anyone else for any forgiveness. But the problem becomes when we want to be in this economy where, oh yeah, I want grace and forgiveness and love from God for all my, I want him to understand all my faults. And with other people, we operate in this economy. We can't do that. That's what really, really upsets God. And it's ridiculous that we have a hard time forgiving. Jesus goes overboard with the numbers. He talks about 10,000 talents. That is a lot of money compared to only 100 denarii. They had a saying back in those times, another day, another denarii. That's what a denarii was. It was a day's wages for a day labor. So this guy has been forgiven 10,000 talents, and he can't forgive 100 denarii. The difference numerically between those things is 6 billion X. This guy has been forgiven of 6 billion times more. That's the exact number. 6 billion times more than what he's refusing to forgive. Jesus goes overboard in the number saying, it doesn't matter what's been done to you. It doesn't matter what. There is nothing you can and shouldn't work on forgiving if you've actually been forgiven by Christ. Doesn't mean that all the things that we need to forgive others are going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's going to happen inside of like a momentary thing. But man, that's the path that you have to be on in order to have a bright future. The wild thing about this has led to some of my strangest prayers I've ever prayed. My kids, when they were younger, my older two kids especially, because they're only 2 years apart, were always fighting with one another. Anyone ever fight with your brother or sister when you were younger? Always fighting. You know what it's like. Stop it! Stop touching me! Mom, he took my toy! Mom, stop! It's just constantly bickering. You're constantly policing. Stop it, stop this. Why is there always bickering with siblings? It's because everyone's trying to make everything fair, right? You broke my toy, I'm going to break your toy. But you broke a toy, it's more expensive than mine. You told on me to mom, no, I'm going to tell on you to dad. And there's constant like tit for tat, try to equal everything out. And it's just, there's never any forgiveness there at all. That's why it's there. You have siblings who cannot offer forgiveness. Everything has to be exact, equal, and I have to even be better than the other person. So finally, after trying to police this and being frustrated, not making it anywhere, I pulled my two oldest kids, Lee and Jake. I think they were, I don't know, I'm going to guess 7 and 5. Pulled them over and said, hey, come here. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. So I sat down on the couch, brought them over. They were standing. I put my hands on their heads. They go, oh, Daddy's going to pray for me. They like prayer time. So put my hands on their heads. I said this, God, I know you're frustrated with this behavior with Lee and Jake, and so I pray that you would remove blessings from their life. I pray that right now. In fact, God, I know that there are blessings you're planning on giving them as their father, I'm asking you to not give Lena and Jake any more blessings of any form until they learn to forgive. Amen. I looked at them, they were like this. True story. True story. And I meant every word of that prayer. Why did I do that? It's because I know Jesus' words here. Jesus says, my goodness, when you choose not to forgive and you're competitive, God actually roots against you. And I wanted my kids to get this early so that they wouldn't have God root them against them when he's 25. Jesus says this. God actually retracts the forgiveness and says, put them in jail. Put them in jail and actually gives them to the tormentors. That's another way of saying, not get too intense with us, the demonic. Gives them over to the demonic. You cannot have a bright future if you're resentful. You cannot have a bright future if you are unforgiving. You cannot have a bright future if you're angry. In fact, God intentionally works against you. Against you. Woo, man. Dag. And Jesus talks about this all the time. One of his prayers, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we're not forgiving our debtors. Guess what? We're not going to be forgiven of our spiritual debt. When I hear this and I think about this, it makes me go, man, I've got to be level 3 as often as I can instead of having anger fantasies. You know how anger fantasies are, right? Person you're angry with or resentful with, you have these like fantasies of, oh, I'd like to see him right now. The guy who didn't give me the promotion, oh, I see it right now. Well, the CEO is going to right-size him. He's going to have to go home and tell his whole family, I don't have a job anymore because I was a jerk manager. Oh, that'd be great. Oh. Or we think about the person with these fantasies, the person who broke up with us in high school, and we go, yeah, they're fat. They got a skin condition. Their gerbils have lice. Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. We think of these awful, horrendous, oh, my neighbor who's been like letting their dog poop in my yard. Oh, boy, someday their pipes are going to burst, and I'm not going to let them use my house. It'll be great. These are completely unproductive, fun maybe. Found fun, baby. But counterproductive to a bright future because God sees that stuff and it shows that we're being unforgiving and resentful and it's not a good thing. One of my more recent times where I've had to operate, you have to practice to get to level 3. I had, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, our family, we've had 4 accidents in the last 12 months. Actually, the other members of my family have had accidents. I haven't, but they've had accidents. We have 2 total cars. So we had this one car that was total. I had to go on Craigslist to try to replace. I found a car that was really comparable. I was really excited about it. It had equal features. And my car that got totaled had like 127,000 miles on it. I bought this car that had 103,000 miles on it. It was a little less than the insurance check was. Like, woo, awesome, awesome. So my buddy Mark and I, we looked it over. He knows a lot about cars. He jacked it up on his lift, looked at it under the undercarriage. Everything looked all good. I took a really quick test drive on it, came back. All's good, great, wonderful. Paid the guy the next day. I'm like, this transmission's slipping. I feel it just doesn't seem right. So I text the guys, hey, have you ever noticed anything like this with this transmission? It just seems like it's slipping. Interesting, before I was texting him about questions about the car, if I was going to buy it, he was back to me in like 30 seconds, bam. Now I'm going like a day, nothing. 2 days, I'm like, oh, I talked to my buddy Mark about it. He said, well, the guy said that he had it sitting for a long, long time. I mean, it's possible the guy didn't know. It's possible that the bands in the transmission dried out and now it's having it. Impossible, unlikely, but possible. And I'm trying to give him questions. He seems to be evading it and everything. And as I'm starting getting more and more worked up, because I start thinking like, ooh, what can I do to jack this guy up? Because I got some pull here. I know a lot of people at his company who are above him. Ooh, I could really get. You start thinking all these things. Like, whoa. Really, so what do you do? I said, my goodness, transmission $2,500. God has given me way more than $2,500. He's given me way more than $2,500. So I forgive. I forgive. It's not like I sent a text. Hey, by the way, I forgive you. No, you just. I'm not. I'm not going to allow this to take root in my heart. I'm not going to think about it. Fact. Invited him to Waited, got great seats for him at Waited. He might be at one crossroads site right now, for all I know. It's great. I love it. Maybe he's hearing this right now, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is coming on him right now. Maybe that's happening. No, honestly, I have zero resentment, zero bitterness at all. I don't think about it. I had to think about it to have an illustration here. I don't think about it when I get in the car. I think about it, really. It's something that just isn't there. I'm great and at peace. And it's why do I want to get there? I want to get there, not just because Jesus says for me to do that, but I couldn't do my job and I have mind space that was going towards that sort of negativity. And I need God bringing every bit of grace to my life he can give me. I need him bringing every resource, every asset. So selfishly, I want more resources, more assets from God. And if I know for sure he's not only not going to bring them, but going to work against it, man, I'm forgive. Who can I forgive? Who wants forgiveness? Who wants forgiveness? That's what I want to do. Jesus says one time, 77 times 7, that's how many times you should forgive. No one's going to come and ask for forgiveness 539 times. I think that's what it is, right? No one's going to do that 500. And he's not saying either, like, okay, in the 540th, that's it. Don't forgive anymore. He gets numbers, as we just saw with the talents and denarii, that are so obscene and so extreme to tell us, folks, always, 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 always forgive. But you can't go through a classic level one forgiveness scenario 539 times or a classic level two forgiveness scenario, even five times. It doesn't happen. What's he saying? He's saying to forgive, and the word that's used there is the word aphemi. Aphemi means you release it, regardless of what the other person says, because they're probably not going to say anything. You release it. You let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
What, you were thinking about Frozen or something like that? You people not know me? I'm going to use a Frozen clip instead of Rambo? Get a life. Are you kidding me? I was going, man, I need to find that Netflix like at home. That's some good stuff right there. Actually, I have to be careful watching movies like that, because how do movies like that, what do they prey on? They prey on vengeance, right? They stoke this need for vengeance in us. You gotta be careful watching those movies. I'm not saying don't watch them, you just gotta be careful. Release it. Let it go. It's fascinating to me how science is more and more coming to understand that the Bible is right in what it says. One of the things that's mentioned numerous times in the Bibles, in the Bible, is our mental state, our spiritual state affects our bones. There's some connection between our emotions and our physical sense. Of course, we all know this is science right now. And science is showing very, very clearly that bitterness and unforgiveness is not going to give you a good physical future. It's going to hurt you. Some of the more interesting ones I've run across is in 1950, there was a study done of the MMPI. It's a 350-plus questionnaire to help you understand your mental psychological condition. Anyone ever take the MMPI in here? I have. It's a long, 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 long thing. And this researcher said, okay, if I take a look at the 27 questions that show hostility, someone who is angry is always somebody who is unforgiving, is always somebody who is resentful, is always somebody who's on edge. All those things, same DNA of the same dysfunctional family that's going nowhere, right? So if I look at the top 25% of people who are testing out hostile and look at their life over the next 25 years, I wonder what I find. So he took a bunch of people who are 25 and then revisited them in 50 who were in the top 25% of hostile, and of those people, 20% were dead from heart disease. Then he took the lowest quartile of hostility, those who ranked the lowest in hostility, and the same thing, he took a bunch of 25-year-olds and looked at them when they were 50, and it was 2% were dead. So 10x, 10 times greater likelihood of being dead from heart disease as a result of hostility and unforgiveness. In CNN, they mentioned this a number of years ago. The data that negative mental states cause heart problems is just stupendous. The data is just as established as smoking, and the size of the effect is the same. Who are the modern-day lepers? Those who bring crying kids into services. Those are the ones practicing forgiveness right now. I'm practicing forgiveness. And this room is designed for sound. Yes, it is. And smokers. Gosh, you want anybody to be looked down on them, like admit you smoke or something, which, you know, a lot of it is, in our country is kind of humorous. We have like restaurants where there's no smoking sections in restaurants. Like the air is like in there, right? That's like having a non-peeing section in a pool. It just makes, okay, who you are, that's funny right there. It makes no sense whatsoever. But scientifically, you may as well be smoking 2 packs a day if you're going to be a bitter person. I don't know if it's 2 packs. Maybe it's a pack. I don't know what it is. But I'm saying, man, my goodness, gosh, we get all freaked out over somebody like having a Marlboro or something like that. But but you hate your mom? I know, me too. I know. You're bitter over your ex. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that happened. Oh, you're bitter. We're going to the grave earlier and earlier. Maybe this is why Nelson Mandela lasted until he was 95. I mean, here's a dude who was oppressed. He was in jail. He had unhealthy physical conditions as he was being the victim of bigotry and all kinds of stuff in South Africa. And he said this about why he lived so long. As I walked out the door, it's the door of his prison, toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I would still be in prison. Mike Tyson, who had amazing amounts of difficulty. He was asked in an interview recently about whether or not he's really upset with Don King. Don King, who was responsible for bilking him, playing the race card, and bilking him of millions and millions of dollars. Mike Tyson seems to be doing pretty good. He's got a good show, from what I understand, in Vegas. Seems pretty coherent. It's pretty impressive. And he said this. He said this about Don King. He said, you can't have hatred. Hatred holds you back. Hatred holds you back. This is why Jesus says, forgive 77 times 7. It's because he was a great forgiver. He was a great man, the greatest in the world's ever known, and I believe a part of his success was he was an amazing forgiver. He's betrayed with a kiss. And as he's betrayed with a kiss, we don't see some anger and bitterness comes out with him. He says, do what you need to do, Judas, right now. As he's being led away, Peter denies him, his best friend, one of his best friends, denies him 3 times. We don't see Jesus getting all in an anger tizzy fit over that whole thing. Jesus is actually up on the cross, and while he's on the cross, a guy beside him says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This guy is on the cross for good reason. He's done some really, really awful things. And he doesn't say, Jesus, I've done awful things to get up here, please forgive me. He says, just remember me. Jesus understands the heart. It's basically level 2 forgiveness. Jesus looks at him and says, today you'll be with me in paradise, today. While he's up on the cross, people who have stoned him, who have nailed him, who have beat him, who have taunted him, who have spit on him, he looks down on him and he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. No one has asked for forgiveness. No one is saying, oh, we just should not have done that. I'm sorry. He, level 3, he completely and totally forgives them when they're not asking for it at all. He comes back from the dead, as that song we sang earlier says, comes back from the dead, goes and finds Peter, who has denied him 3 times, and he goes to him, and 3 times he gives him a purpose. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He doesn't say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, but in essence, that's what he's saying. He's saying, you're involved, you're included, you're important. I'm giving you a mission, I'm giving you a mission. You and me are good. You and I are good. All is fine. He was amazing at forgiving. Every person you want to be around is a great forgiver. And every person you don't want to be around is an awful forgiver. Week 1, we looked at end of the world stuff, how we need to believe that there's a bright future, not get hung up on all end of the world kind of stuff. Every prophecy someone's told me about, hey, the world's going to end, or this is going to be bad, or the Antichrist, this or that, everyone, since I've been walking Christ in 34 years, everyone has been wrong. None of them happened. This fixation over it has just got to end. We dealt with that big on week 1. Now, to be clear, I do believe that there's going to be a judgment day. I do believe that there's going to be some significant things globally that are going to happen that God's going to have his hand in. I totally believe that God is going to have his way and it's not going to be a good thing for a lot of people, completely. And you know what? If I found out that was going to happen next week, I wouldn't have lived last week any differently. When I think about going before God and having to give an account for my life, I go like this. I think, okay, where am I sexually right now? Am I okay to talk to him about where I've been? Okay, good. I go, okay, how about how I've been treating people? Am I okay, like, him call me out or comment on how I've been treating money? Am I okay, the amount of money I've poured into his kingdom and my generosity? Is he going to whack me on that? Okay, I'm good on that one. Is there anybody in my life that I'm just bitter towards? They're like, and I go, oh, there is one. Okay, I got to forgive. I got to go. It's seriously, of all the high-octane things you think about if you want to go with God, this is one of them. This is a huge one. The person who let you go, the person who broke up with you, the person who walked out on you, the person who violated you. I'm not saying all these things are easier. They're going to be instantaneous, but we have got to have a heart towards releasing. We've got to have a heart towards ephemia. We've got to have a heart towards Christ's economy, or there's power that's not going to be with us. Luke 6, verse 37, last verse I'll share with you. Jesus says this, forgive and you'll be forgiven. In other words, don't forgive, guess what? You're not going to be forgiven. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it'll be given to you. You want God to give you stuff, then be a giver. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So, in conclusion, let me give you the 9 steps for level 3 forgiveness. 9 steps, ooh, yeah. Doesn't make sense. Here we go, 9 steps real quick. Level 3. Number 1, remember the forgiveness I've been given. Number 2, choose to let it go. The offense is coming to you. Number 3, pray for the offender. Jesus talks about pray for our enemies. So pray that God would bless that person and build into that person. Number 4, remember the forgiveness I've been given. Number 5, choose to let it go. Number 6, pray for the offender. Number 7, remember the forgiveness I've been given. Number 8, let it go. And number 9, pray for the offender. Now, if those 9 steps don't get you free, if those 9 steps don't make you feel God's grace, then go back to the beginning and start it over again. Because this is what it is. This isn't some like magic pill. Some of us, honestly, here's the good news. This is good. Some of us, friends, it's going to be this simple. You've heard this message today, and you're going to walk out those doors different. So it's going to be that simple. You're going to let it go. You're going to release it. You're going to remember the things that God's blessed you with, and you're going to be amazed at how light you are. And you're going to feel God's pleasure on you. You're going to feel his smile like, that is my son. That is my daughter. That's what we do in our family. You're going to feel that. Not everyone's going to go out here and go, man, that was a rough one for me, but I know I'm going to work that process. God is as concerned about the journey as he is about the destination. So I want to pray for us right now, and we'll do a physical positioning of prayer that we do time and again, and I want to put it in the context of today's content. And so if you want to pray with me, let's go ahead and do this right now. First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to put my hands up in the universal surrender position. I love the sounds of hands going up. So God, this is our thing of surrender. And so those of us who are doing this are just saying to you, we want to surrender to your ways. Surrender to your ways of forgiveness. Surrender to your ways of mercy, and surrender to whatever you want in our life. So that's the posture that we want to have, God. We want to be surrendered to you. And then put your hands up on your lap. Hands up. This is the universal receive position. Some of us maybe want to receive Christ for the first time right now. You just want to make some prayer and statement to him to the tune of, Jesus, I want to ask you into my life. I want your economy. I want your forgiveness. Please forgive me. Fill me with your spirit. I commit my life to you. Others of us might want to receive forgiveness because we want to confess something right now that we haven't confessed before God, that we know is a debt between us and him. We want to confess it. Receive his forgiveness. Confess. Ask. Ask and you'll receive the forgiveness. And then turn your hands upside down. pointing down to the ground. This is the let it go. We're letting it go. We're actually taking our hands and our fingers, opening and closing, letting it go. We're dropping the bitterness. We're dropping the need to get even. We're dropping the need to sully somebody's reputation. We're dropping the need to get even. This, by the way, this doesn't mean that there isn't some justice system if somebody is stolen and extorted, that there isn't some justice that's going to be there. It just means that between you and God and your attitude about that person, you're letting it go. You're letting it go. You're dropping it. God, I hear bitterness dropping in here. I hear attitude towards a doctor dropping in here. There's a lot of old trolls of ex-people we've been with. We're dropping those trolls right now, those ugly thoughts that we've had towards the other person. There's a lot of weight being dropped in here right now, God, and you're pleased. God, help us stay in level 3. All week and all life long. Amen. Hey, let's stand right now and sing this refrain that we sung earlier that really punctuates the place that God's happy for us to be in.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. And Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. And conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Hey, we can conquer this, right? Who's level 3? Who's with me today? Who's level 3 today? Come on. Let's make a statement. Let's make a statement. We're not going to be like the rest of the world. We're going to be different. The future is bright at level 3. All right, hope to see a lot of us on Wednesday. Super Bowl service is next week. Remember, if you've taken tickets, unfortunately, your friends are not going to come. No problem. Turn them back in. Oh, by the way, here's another one I want to say real quick. I want to affirm the service on something. I got to remember to say it's 11:45. Remember this. I've been hearing stories about people, especially in the balconies where I've heard it, who have seen people coming and to need a seat. You've given up your seat and you've gone over to the chapel. That's awesome. That is amazing selflessness and sacrifice that those of us who are part of Crossroads do. So awesome. If you want to come to a service where you can get parking and better seat, we'd love to have you at 8:30. Think about that. So next week, come early if you're standby. Can't wait. Have a great week.